Our text is Exodus 17, and the words of the verse 15, the verse before the last in the chapter that we read from, Exodus 17, verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. We commenced this year thinking of one of the other great Jehovah titles, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see or the Lord will provide. We did, in the course of that message and introduction to it, we emphasized many of the other great Jehovah titles that are found in the scriptures. That message then ran into a mini-series. It became a three-part message under the title of what the Lord has for us in the year 2015. And we want to think tonight of another one of the great Jehovah titles of the scriptures. These words, Jehovah Nissi. The theme tonight in this service on the 12th of July 2015, the 325th anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne, the theme tonight is the banner. We are at what is known as the height of the marching season here in Northern Ireland, and a very prominent part of the marching season is the banner, the banners and the part that they play in the parades. Every lodge has its own banner, and what happens, you're very familiar with the procedure. Every lodge marches behind its own banner. As the parade makes its way along the designated route, the lodge members, those that are able, they take it in turn to carry the banner. And what pride they have as they do that. And they carry the banner for a very specific reason. They carry it because they want everyone to see it and to take notice of it. Sometimes the children, some of the children in the service tonight, will do this tomorrow. In the will of God, they'll hold what are known as the banner strings. It's generally a means of steadying the banner, especially if the day becomes a little windy. The idea is just to hold the banner just that little more secure, steadying it for the men that have the task of carrying it. Banners, of course, have been used for centuries. Just to emphasize, banners weren't invented by the Orange Order. In ancient times, they were carried by armies into battle. William's army, those many years ago, would have carried banners into the Battle of the Boyne. The banners that William's army would have carried would have been orange banners, because he came from the House of Orange in Holland. And what the orange men do today is a reminder of what happened 325 years ago at the Battle of the Boyne. But I want to remind you tonight, men and women, I want to emphasize to you that the banner is mentioned in the Bible six times in all. If you look up the concordance, you'll be able to find every reference. If you're interested in those things, particularly if you're an orange man connected with the lodge, six times in all you'll read about the banner. It is, and I want to stress to you in the meeting this evening that God has a banner, just as armies, just as the lodge, the black, and so on. I want you to know that God has a banner. And his banner, men and women, is Christ, our Saviour. Whenever we preach about heaven's banner, really what we are preaching about is Christ, the Lord Jesus, the one that loved us and that died for us. You think of this name, Jehovah Nissi. If you have a Bible with a margin, and how helpful that is in Bible study, you look at the marginal reference, and the meaning of that name, Jehovah Nissi, is the Lord my banner. So I want you to see that tonight. God is a banner, and heaven's banner is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something I want you to remember. It's something I pray the Lord will write upon your heart. I pray it's something you'll take away from this meeting. I pray it's something that you'll think about tomorrow when you see the banners, whenever you witness them being carried past, and whenever some of you carry the banner yourself. Remember that what you see and what you have in your hands is a reminder, and it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let us think for a moment or two about the banner in this meeting, and especially some of the gospel truths or gospel application that we can draw from it. I want you to think about the manifesting of the banner. Lodges, they want their banner to be made manifest. In other words, they want the banner to be seen. They don't go to all the expense and all the effort to have a banner made just to keep the banner closed away. Banners were not made to be kept in cases. They were not made to be kept away in a cupboard. When a banner is new, a lodge has what they call an unfurling ceremony. That's an occasion when the design of the banner is made public. Supporters are invited to come to that service, that ceremony, and they have an opportunity for the very first time to view the design of that new banner. And then on parade days, especially on the 12th of July, the banner is brought out and it's raised up for all to see. But I want to remind you of this, brethren and sisters. It's not just the task of the banner man to hold the banner. You know that to be so. It's not just his task to hold the banner. What the banner man has to do is to lift it up. Banners are to be held up high. And that's the reason why they're fixed upon the poles, so that they can be given a very prominent place, a very prominent position in the parade itself. As you think of that, let me remind you of the words of the psalmist. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And why has the Lord given us that banner? Well, the psalmist goes on to say that it may be displayed. That's what the Lord wants us to do. As you see the banner lifted high, tomorrow displayed for all to see, that's what the Lord wants us to do with the gospel banner, and especially with the person of the Saviour. And that's what I want to do, men and women, in the meeting tonight. I want to lift the gospel banner up before you. I want to lift up Christ, exalt him in this gospel meeting. We'll not be lifting up a denomination. We'll not be lifting up a religion. What we want to do tonight is to exalt Christ. And the reason for that, of course, is because he's the only one that can save your soul and forgive your sins. Do you remember Paul writing to the Colossians? He said, in all things, that he might have the preeminence. Isn't that a great text? It's a great truth. It's a great principle, men and women, by which to live the Christian life. And what we want tonight is, in this meeting, is for Christ to have the preeminent place. Want him to be preeminent in this service. Want him to be preeminent in this church, in all we seek to do. And we pray, men and women, for the days that Christ will again be preeminent in this land in which we live. Do you remember in the camp in the wilderness, the story when they were bitten by the fiery serpents? The scriptures tell us that Moses lifted up the serpent on a pole. And we want tonight to lift up Christ. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, and those that looked to him, they lived. We want to lift up Christ for all to see. Because you remember that he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. What that means is, when Christ is preached, when he's exalted, when he's lifted up, then hearts are touched and lives are changed and souls are saved. And our prayer for you is that you might be drawn tonight to Jesus Christ in salvation. I want you to think as well Not just the manifesting of the banner. Think of the message of the banner. Isn't it true that every banner has a message? And they make interesting and profitable reading. For example, you'll read on the banner, "In God We Trust." Or you might see the message of "No Surrender, Lest We Forget." The Protestant religion we will maintain. Gideon's faithful few. The reality is, you know it to be so. Every banner has a message. And the gospel banner is no different, men and women. The gospel banner has a message too. It is the greatest message of all. It is the message that everyone needs to hear. And it is the message that you should listen to in this service tonight very carefully. You ask me, what message does the gospel banner bear? Well, this is what it is. It is the message of love. The message of God's love for sinners. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Song of Solomon especially makes that very clear. Another one of the references to the banner in the Bible. Solomon said, "His banner over me was love." So I want to say to you tonight, watch carefully. The gospel banner is passing, just as the banners will pass you tomorrow. The gospel banner is passing in this service tonight. And as it passes, it has a message. It declares the message of God's love for you. Paul, writing to the Romans, "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Think of Paul's words to the Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. John in his epistle said, "Behold, what manner of love." Behold tonight, here's something to stop, to consider, to take a hold of, men and women. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." The gospel declares the message of God's love for you and for me. That hymn that we sang, 196, those words of Charles Wesley's, he wrote them in Killaloe and County Down. You know there are two Killaloes in Northern Ireland, one just a little way here out of Armagh. Down in Killaloe, County Down, not far from where I came from. Charles Wesley was here on a preaching tour. You know, it's interesting. We only think that we have difficult days. Whenever the Wesleys preached in the open air in Whitfield, the same, they were often persecuted greatly. There were mobs that opposed them. Opposed them to the very point where they would have been physically beaten and at times hounded from the very towns and cities where they preached. And that's what happened whenever Charles Wesley preached down in Killaloe. He was chased by a mob. He ran out into the country, came to a farm. Mrs. Jane Moore was the farmer's wife. He found her at home, and she was a sympathizer with the gospel, and she took him in and she hid him in the milk house. And the mob came, and she was in fear for what might happen, and she went down into the milk house, giving the idea she was going to go and get these men a cold drink, but she went down to warn Wesley. She told him to climb out through the back window, and he found shelter beside a little brook under a hedge in a field out at the back of that farm. And as he thought of how he was fleeing from his persecutors that day, the words of that hymn came to him. We would talk about sitting in a shuck, and that's really where he was. The water was running past, and he was there at the bottom of the hedge, and he pulled a bit of paper and a pencil out of his pocket, and he wrote those lovely words, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly." And what a thought that is tonight, men and women. Jesus Christ loves your soul. And he loved your soul so much that he came from heaven to earth, and he died for your soul at Calvary. You know, it was that thought that God loved him that brought Stanley Arnott to Christ. Stanley Arnott was the famous Brethren missionary to Africa. What a ministry he had, even among the cannibals of Africa. But what was it that first touched Stanley Arnott's heart? It was the thought of God's love towards him. You think of William Tyndale. It was true of him as well. Those lovely words in John's epistle, we love him because he first loved us. And I pray, men and women, that the thought, the knowledge of God's love for you might touch your heart tonight and bring you to Christ as well. Those simple words that we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let that sink down into your heart tonight. I want you to think as well about the markings of the banner. Banners have a message, that is true, but they also have markings. Markings that make every banner unique. For example, a banner has a name, the name of the lodge. It has the number of the lodge and the number of the district. And especially every banner has a picture, not just on one side, but on both sides. They have pictures of King William crossing the Boyne, pictures of the Battle of the Somme, also fought on the 1st of July, and how important that date will be next year, the 100th anniversary of that great battle. There's pictures of Reformation scenes, Reformation leaders. Some of the Reformation leaders been put to death at the stake. Tully Happy, just outside Newry there, they have Latimer and Ridley on their banner being burnt at the stake. Alton Navay, the homes of seven Protestants murdered by the IRA nearly 100 years ago, whenever the border was set up and partition took place, 1921, 1922, seven Protestant families massacred in that Alton Navay area. And that, there's a picture of those homes on that banner. The Bessbrook Star of Hope, where the 12th of July here in County Armagh will be tomorrow. The Star of Hope in Bessbrook, they have Derrymore House painted on their banner. That is very significant because that's where the Act of Union was signed way back in the year 1800. Many banners depict the biblical stories. David at the brook, Daniel in the den. The banners of the Black Preceptory especially have virtually all biblical scenes upon them. So it's true, men and women, banners have distinctive markings. And many of the pictures on those banners, they're reminding us of the themes of blood shedding, the sacrifice of life, and the suffering that has took place, suffering in battles and so on, right down through the ages. And I want to point out, men and women, as we have thought of the markings of the orange banners, remember that the gospel banner, remember that Christ has very distinctive markings as well. Very distinctive markings on the gospel banner that make it stand out from every other, because it is marked with the wounds of Christ. Do you remember he said, behold, my hands and my feet. That word, behold, how important it is in the scriptures. You find it many times. It's a stop sign. How many times we're in a hurry as we read the Bible. We don't have time to consider, to ponder. And that's what the Savior is saying. He's saying it again and afresh in this meeting tonight. Behold my hands and behold my feet. Look closely, men and women, at the one who is Jehovah Nissi. Look carefully tonight in this gospel service at the one who is the Lord, our banner. And as you do, you will see the marks of his sufferings, the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, his back beaten and the crown of thorns upon his head. Here are the marks of his sacrifice for sinners. If I could remind you of the great words of Isaiah the prophet, he was wounded. Why? Wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. He suffered for you, and he died so that you might live, so that you might experience eternal life. But the fourth thing I want you to consider, that is marching with a banner. Isn't it true that banners are used for marching? You often see them in the Orange Halls when you go there to meetings and services and so on. But they're only stored in the Orange Hall. Banners must be carried. Banners must be followed. That is the purpose, the reason for which they are made. In ancient times, armies marched after their banners. It was done in biblical times too. If you read the book of Numbers, especially chapter 10, you will learn that as the tribes of Israel wandered in the wilderness, they walked in an orderly manner. Always remember that. It wasn't just a case of those maybe 2 or 3 million people in one great mass just walking across the wilderness. They marched, as it were, in a very orderly manner. And the New Testament principle, everything being done decently and in order, that applied to the children of Israel in the wilderness as well. There was a certain order that each tribe had. There was a certain order, and each tribe had its own place in the procession. And every tribe had its own standard. That's another word for a flag or a banner. Every flag or every tribe had its own standard. Every tribe had its own banner to follow. And as they marched through the wilderness, they marched after their own banner. And Orange Lodges still do the same. Wherever the banner is carried, they will follow it. It doesn't matter how long the road, how steep the hills, how bad the weather, how strong the opposition, they will march behind the banner. And I ask you to think tonight, men and women, I ask you, as you think of your soul, as you think about eternity, as you think about your own spiritual condition, I want you to ponder carefully the question, what banner are you marching behind? Is it the banner of the world, the banner of ambition, the banner of popularity, the banner of financial gain? Maybe you could say tonight that you followed the lodge, you followed the band in many towns for many years. You've marched on the 12th in Scarva, Black Saturday, Orange services without number for all of your life. You've been under and you've been behind the banner of the lodge. But I want to ask you this. Will you march behind heaven's banner? Will you march, men and women, behind the Lord Jesus Christ? Doesn't he say, isn't it one of the clearest invitations in all the Word of God? He says, follow me. You'll maybe follow the banner tomorrow. Well, here's what Christ would say to your heart tonight. Follow me. Will you do that? Will you obey his very plain, very simple, and yet very powerful invitation to your heart tonight? There's one other thing. That's the meaning of the banner. At the parades, men of all ages, men of all walks of life, men of all nationalities will carry the banner and walk behind it. And maybe 21 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Canada for the opening of our Toronto church. I stayed for a few days down in Barrie, where we have a congregation and a witness being made. We were there for the Sabbath day services in Barrie that day. Dr. Alan Kearns was the visiting preacher. And the church in Barrie at that time was meeting in the Orange Hall. In some ways, it made us feel at home. Many churches here, when they started, held their first services in the Orange Hall. So the point I'm trying to make is there are Orange Lodges even all across Canada. Lodges in England, lodges in Scotland, the 12th in Scotland yesterday. Liverpool will have its 12th of July procession. There's Orange Lodges in Africa, and even in the United States of America among the Red Indians. I understand that was it Geronimo, the great Indian chief, was a member of an Orange Lodge as well. It stresses for us that men of all ages, of all walks of life, of all nationalities, will carry and walk behind the Orange banner. There are also Orange women. and junior lodges too. And the question, man, if you think of all of those people, the question is why? Why do they walk behind the banner? What does it mean to them? Remember, it's not just for show. It's not just for a case of exercise that they go out tomorrow to walk a few miles along the King's Highway. The reason they do it is this. It's because they support the Orange Order. As they walk behind the banner, what they're really saying is this. I identify with this cause. I identify with this movement. It means that they support the Orange Order and they support all that it stands for. And as you think of that tonight, and maybe even think about it tomorrow, I want to ask you this. Do you identify tonight with Jesus Christ, the Lord our banner? Do you identify yourself tonight as a Christian, as a child of God? Do you remember Amasai? He said to David on one occasion, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse." And I want to ask you, men and women, each one, the question, can you say as you sit in this gospel meeting, "Thine we are, Lord Jesus, and on thy side, thou son of God"? You will maybe strongly identify yourself with Protestantism. You might want to very strongly and plainly identify yourself with this denomination. You might plainly and strongly want to identify yourself with the gospel. And some of you tomorrow will go to great lengths to identify yourself with King William. But you will not identify yourself with Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is you've never been saved. You've never been born again of the Spirit. Remember, men and women, if you don't own him in this life, then he will not own you on the day of judgment. You don't come to Christ and receive him as your Savior. On that day, he will utter those solemn words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you." A little then of the Orange Banner and some of the gospel lessons that it teaches us this evening. I'll close just with this thought. Back in the days surrounding the Second World War, in Denmark, that Scandinavian country, the King of Denmark, Christian X, was his name. He was out for an early morning ride on his horse. And as he came into Copenhagen, the centre of the city, the capital of his country, he saw a sight that shocked him. He saw a swastika, a flag with the German emblem, flying on a public building in the centre of Copenhagen. There had been an arrangement made with the Germans at that time that no such thing would ever take place. So the flying of that flag was in contravention of that very solemn agreement that those two parties had made. King Christian X, he rode up to a German sentry that was on duty, and he told them, "Take that flag down." And the sentry said that under new orders from Berlin, the flag was to stay, and the flag was to fly in Copenhagen upon that public building. The king said that that flag will have to come down by 12 o'clock today. And if it doesn't, he said, "I will send a soldier to climb up there and to take it down from that building." The sentry replied, "Sir, if any soldier climbs up upon that building, he will be shot. And he will be shot dead." And the king replied, "Sir, he will not be shot, because I will be that soldier." And that is what happened, men and women. The king himself, King Christian X of Denmark, he climbed up onto the top of that public building and himself tore down the banner of his enemies. And the situation in Europe at that time was such that even the Germans would not shoot the king of Denmark. And I want you to know, men and women, that that's what Christ, our Saviour, our King, the one that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has done. That's what he did at Calvary, did at the cross. He tore down the enemy's banner. He is the victor. And I want to ask you tonight, are you on the side of victory? Are you on the side of Christ? Can you tonight, as you sit in this gospel meeting on the 12th of July, what a historic day it is, but as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, can you sincerely and honestly call Christ Jehovah Nissi? Can you say this evening before you go from this meeting that he is the Lord, my banner, that he's yours, that you know him personally as your Saviour? I pray the Lord might write his word upon every heart this evening. 221.